Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
Daniel chapter 3, you know the story of the Hebrew boys. And I've preached it many times, and I could not get it off my heart yesterday. So I'm going to share. I don't have an outline or anything. I've just got a few things on my heart that I'm going to share with you. All right, so we'll see where the Lord takes us today. Is that all right? All right, Luke chapter 3, Daniel verse 19. Let's start there. I just want to read two verses to you and give you a thought. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was angry. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was to be heated. So 7 times hotter. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now, I've got one thought for you. The heat is on. And it's being turned up. I couldn't get that out of my heart yesterday. And when we look at our country, when we look at what's happening, we've got potential government that will, with fury and anger, try to eradicate the church, inspired by Satan himself. Now, Silas alluded to it earlier when he says we're not fighting against people, we're fighting against spirits, spiritual warfare. Now, there are many who don't believe in territorial spirits. I do. I think that you can see it very evident. God is a God of cities, John. Jerusalem, the city of peace. Winston-Salem, Salem. Peace. I would like for cities to start living up to their names. Like Los Angeles, the city of angels. Right? Oh, how the enemy's twisted that. He's a god of cities. And when I look at certain cities in America, I can see territorial spirits. When you think about San Francisco, what comes to mind? The homosexual capital of the world. That's a spirit there. What about Miami, Florida? Drugs, trafficking, addiction. What about Louisiana? Think about that. Mardi Gras, black magic, voodoo. That's a spirit, a sign there. What about Los Angeles, California? Vanity. What about Charlotte, North Carolina? Greed. Do you know Charlotte is one of the most, it's probably the biggest banking industry in America. Did you know that? There's a lot of money in Charlotte, North Carolina. A territorial spirit. I could go all the way to King, North Carolina, and we could talk about the spirit of addiction, that pharmakia spirit that runs through these rural areas to try to destroy through medications that lead to drugs, that lead to harder drugs and alcoholism. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in high places. We are in a spiritual fight for our lives. And I want to tell you something. When I read this, and I think about Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked, pagan, godless, really, king, who builds a statue of himself after God tells him through Daniel the prophet that he would go down as the head of gold. interpreting his dream to him, he still, in his pride, builds a 90-foot statue and commands the land to worship it at the playing of music. In fact, look with me in verse 1. Let's just read it and think about what we're facing today. Read it with me. Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet. Verse 2, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent together the princes. Now, this is important. Don't just read over things. Look at this, okay? He called together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, sheriffs, rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of this image. Who is that? That's everybody in government. That's the whole government. That's the whole rule of law bowing down to an image. I'm telling you, there's a certain sect of our government, and you know what I'm talking about. They're talking about Senate races and how important they are, and they are important. Because if the whole realm of government with each branch is contaminated with demonic, self-centered, atheistic leadership, what do you think's going to happen to the body of Christ? They're already starting. They're already saying you can't have church services. You can't sing when you do go to church. All the way to the point of saying that you can't even get together with your family on Thanksgiving. And if you do, you better cover your mouth. How symbolic that is. Where you speak and declare and have freedom. They want you to cover it up. Demonically inspired, you see. In Canada last week, three pastors were put in jail for preaching against homosexuality. Not Afghanistan, Canada. The whole realm of government. But as Americans, here's what we'll do. We'll make it positive. We'll get back to our lives. We'll go back to work. We'll make money. We'll do things that please us, that release those endorphins that give us a happy thought for about 3 hours. We'll buy something else. We'll set out on another project. And the whole time, Nebuchadnezzar is building an image. And let me tell you what the image is. It's fear. It's not a statue that you can see. It's fear. I was at a gathering yesterday outside, John, in King, North Carolina, where police was there policing the crowd. In King. Not Winston-Salem, not Charlotte, King, North Carolina. Making sure people were spread out. There wasn't too many together. Then I saw him in a restaurant parking lot doing the same thing in King. Yes. I'm not putting them down for doing their job, but it's coming from the top and it goes down to them, you see. Not their fault. I'm talking about government. And at what point does the church say enough is enough? I still know churches and pastors that haven't come back together yet. Boggles my mind. Last Sunday, I talked to a brother out here walking. He said, "Church looks great." I said, "Thank you." He says, "When was y'all able to start meeting?" I said, "Pentecost Sunday, brother. We've been meeting since May. And we're believing God and trusting Him." And he told me that a dear lady in his church passed away, 97 years old. She was active up until COVID started. She was an usher in the church, drove everywhere, died in her home. And they call it natural causes, not COVID, probably loneliness. Folks, I'm telling you, you need one another. Amen. We need each other. Amen. We need the embrace of a hug. We need the strength of a handshake. We need the encouragement with a pat on the back. Amen. We need that as the body of Christ. And I believe wholeheartedly that your Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some people are, and so much more as you see that day approaching. What day is that? That day is today. Amen. Not the coming of the Lord, the day of persecution. Amen. The day when they tell you, you can't go to church, and if you do, you can't sing, and if you do, you can't preach on this. That's a hate crime. You can't bring this subject up. It's already starting. They ban things on Facebook. They clip and copy your sermons. They pull things out. They mute parts out. And people have made that their church. I'm telling you, you are worshiping an image of fear if you are reluctant to come to God's house as a Christian. I'm telling you, I'm not the same guy I was 6 months ago. Now, you can choose to bow down to an image of, and listen to me, I understand that it's real. I understand that people have lost their lives. But folks, the last time I remember in this country, we could do what we wanted to do. If somebody's got cancer in their body, the hospital doesn't make them have surgery. I don't remember them making me get a flu shot. They strongly suggest it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. My point today is at what point do you pull away from the image of fear that the world and the government has set up for you to worship when they tell you to worship it? And when do you back away and say, I belong to God? Amen. And I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Church attendance, I know I talk about it a lot, because I know how important it is. Wednesday night, wasn't that wonderful? Amen. Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have a tough time at work, won't you come to church on Wednesday night? You want to talk about getting you through the week, brother. Amen. 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 You'll get a lot more energy being in God's house than laying on your couch on Wednesday night. Amen. Now you can take that, chew on it, or spit it out. I don't really care. I'm telling you that there's going to come a day in this country where they tell you you may not be able to do what we're doing today. And if you cannot come together and not forsake that assembling, how are you going to do it when they tell you you can't? Amen. I'm talking about a mindset here. I'm talking about an attitude. I'm talking about a commitment. Did you hear the message last Sunday? Intense faithfulness. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it on YouTube, the website. It's there. Listen to what he says about intense faithfulness. That's what it's going to take in the last days. That's what it's going to take. Verse 4 of chapter 3, look with me. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, the music, you are to bow down and worship the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. There were three boys that said, you know what? I don't think so. I fully believe, and I'll declare it, I used to be in government, law enforcement. I believe in authority. I'm not anti-government at all. I believe in subjecting yourself to that authority. But at what point do you say, this is too far and too much? Not only are they diving into my personal family life, but now they're diving into my spiritual life. And there's a reason our founding fathers created the First Amendment, so that we could have the right to gather and worship anytime we want to. Amen. And nobody can tell you otherwise. Amen. Now they can make laws, they can persecute you, and they probably will. But what will you do if they do? Amen. Huh? Amen. You going to worship the image of fear? And say, I'm going to listen to the scientists, because they've got all the answers. Please. All right. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I like those names. answered and said to the king, verse 16 of chapter 3, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Did you hear that? Do you believe God's able? As a Christian, let me tell you something. With COVID-19, if you get it and it takes your life, you still win. What are you so afraid of? Are you hearing me? Fear is a torment, 1 John 4 tells us. It's tormenting to live in fear. Tormenting. I see people here right now. If they gave you their diagnosis, you'd say, you better be wearing a mask. But I commend you this morning. I commend you for living by faith. I commend you for not bowing down to an image of fear. And please hear my balanced word today. I'm not saying never wear a mask. Please, are you listening to me? Do you hear what I'm saying? At what point is enough enough, right? All right. He's able to deliver us. But Pastor, what if I get it? What if it spreads? You know, there was an if in their story too. You want to read it? Well, that's one of you. Do you want to read it? All right, look at verse 18 of chapter 3. But, so they say, he's able to deliver us. He's able to heal me of COVID-19. He's able to protect me from it. But then they said in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto you that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. In other words, we're not going to bow in fear to something that you have created. We're going to trust and serve God. He's able to protect me from COVID-19. But even if he doesn't, I'm telling you, it's still all right by me, because I serve an awesome, powerful, almighty, all-sufficient God. And he's been more faithful to me than the government's ever been. He's been more truthful with me than the government has ever been. I bow my allegiance and my knee to Jesus Christ, not an image of fear. God help me today. Oh, I love that. So then he turns that heat up, doesn't he? Oh. Verse 24, let's finish this thing. Let's land the plane. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, that is true. And he answered and said, but I see 4 men. Now notice he did not say, I just see 4 men. He said, I see 4 men who are loose. Walking in the midst of the fire. Where? In the middle of it. They have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Thrown into a fire that's been cranked up 7 times hotter. Bound hand and foot. This wicked leader looks in there and he sees them loose, walking in the fire. Not dancing around it and skipping around it and wearing masks and going live. I don't care who hears me. I really don't. But they were in the fire. And when I read this text, I never read one time where Jesus walked out of the fire. Which means he's still in that fire. And I believe that's why Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I believe that's why Isaiah said in Isaiah 43, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and the flood shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, it shall not burn thee, neither shall the flame kindle against thee. When you go through the fire of persecution, and this country very well could, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is still in the fire, and he will walk with you, dance with you, shout with you, and glorify you in his presence. And not only that, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, you know their names by now, you servants of the Most High God, come forth, and come here. And they went to him out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, once again, don't overlook anything. This is the whole government. We're gathered together. They saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Oh, God. Your mother-in-law passed away a couple weeks ago with COVID, right? What were her words on her deathbed? They wanted to put a ventilator in her throat. What'd she say, Anthony? She said, nope, I'm ready to go. The fire did not touch her. And now, someone whose health was falling apart is in better shape than we are, walking and living in the presence of the Son of God. Get my point this morning. Oh, hallelujah. The fire had no impact upon them. None at all. Persecution did not move the Apostle Paul. That Nero emperor, the madman, the maniac of murder, got his head. Probably put it on a steeple and set it on fire. Oh, but Paul declared, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe before the guillotine touched his neck that he saw Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. This is pretty radical here, you know. My preacher brothers would say, man, you're going too far with this. Whew. 28, the Nebuchadnezzar spoke, said, blessed be the God of Shadrach. Well, no, go back to 27, I didn't finish. Nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell, not even the smell of smoke. My neighbor, God bless his heart, burns leaves every day. And I can walk outside for a second in my suit, and I won't tell you how much this thing costs. And I can walk back in the house, and I smell like the thing. It doesn't take long at all. These guys are thrown into the middle of the fire. They come out. They don't even smell like smoke. But I want you to understand something. What had them bound had been burned off. Amen. Oh, God. Boy, I could preach all day in this text. Listen, what has you afraid when you get into the anointing and the fire, not the fire of persecution, but the fire of the Holy Ghost, it will burn off whatever's holding you back and holding you down. If you've never experienced spirit baptism, you do not know what you are missing. You want a boldness to stand up to your employer, a boldness to stand up to people who say God doesn't exist and he's not real and we need to pay attention to what's going on in the world. You're going to need the Holy Ghost. The third person, John. Okay, I'm almost done. I know we've got things to do after this. Look at verse Look at 29. Therefore, I make a decree, this is Nebuchadnezzar, that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of these boys shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Now, here's what I want to pray. Persecution is a given. It can come today, 5 years, 25 years, and I believe it will. But you know what? I want to pray that the church, not just this church, but the body of Christ, whatever churches that may comprise of, we can guess and speculate, but only He knows, would experience an outpouring as such Pastor Silas read today, to where the government, whether it's the president, senators, House of Representatives, congressmen and women, would look and say, something's happening. We can't deny it. And it rubs off on them. God, do you believe it could happen? I do. But like those Hebrew boys, even if it doesn't, He's still in the fire. Amen. And I believe He's able to save us and protect us. But even if He doesn't, He's still God. Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Help us. Because we cannot help ourselves. Lord, I can just feel and see what's happening in our country. And if it continues to happen the way it's happening, then Lord, there's no hope. We cannot revert back, because You would have handed over to a reprobate mind a nation that has failed to heed and repent. And I pray that You would hold back Your judgment, that You would hold back Your hand of wrath and fury, God, and forgive us as a nation. As Moses prayed and interceded for all the people of Israel, I stand here just a little country boy, and I'm interceding for our nation. And Lord, I believe that You're able to stay Your hand and pour out Your Spirit once more. And Lord, today we just confess our sin. If there's anybody here, Lord, who needs to make a commitment to You, to serve You with all their heart, I pray today that they would just hear me and repeat and say, Lord, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. Cleanse me today. I accept You as my Lord, my Savior, and my God. And my allegiance is to You. And I bow down to You today. And I declare with my heart and believe with my heart and declare with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I declare it with boldness today. In Jesus' name, amen. I sure hope you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin and that He has transformed your life from this moment forward. And I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast. And we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message, by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also, you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast, and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, would be acceptable in His sight, for He is your strength and your Redeemer.